Now, one place that might have needed the services of the Royal Flying Doctor Service over the years is the remote Seven Emu Station in the Northern Territory. They run a bull-catching operation, so there's plenty of scope for injuries. But we're not on the trail of the bull-catchers today. Instead, we're looking at the work family patriarch Frank Shadforth does on the property, helping troubled youth. He believes the problem with society today is there's too many meetings and nothing gets solved. Let's join our colleagues from ABC TV's Landline program for an update on the work being done on Seven Emu Station.
A horse race win in the 50s bought an Indigenous family a cattle station in the Northern Territory.
Wattala's got his head in front near the post and Wattala wins it for most legal, my hero third.
But it's the work with troubled teens that's earned the Patriarch an Australian of the Year nomination. This is Three Bags Full, a Landline podcast, updating you on the TV stories you loved and the story of Seven Emu Station. In November of 2016, Landline journo Christy O'Brien and cameraman Ian Jumbuck Redfern headed to Savannah Way in the Northern Territory, which is about 85 kilometres southeast of Borroloola, in the middle of nowhere really, to Seven Emu Station. Christian Jumbuck, what was the story?
The owner, Frank Shadforth, is a respected pastoralist here in the Northern Territory where he catches wild bulls. Really, they were doing some pretty remarkable things here that I thought were worth checking out. He was running a station and rehabilitating wayward youth.
Yeah, my first bull catch was pretty fun. An adrenaline rush. It always keeps you on your toes, though. You know, the bull doesn't want to stay there all the time.
There's more to Seven Emu Station than just catching bulls. What does Frank Shadforth and the family do on this property?
Whilst it was high adventure and I knew the pictures would be amazing, there was something incredibly special and I think that felt like one of the most important stories we'd covered. And the fact that Frank was off his own back taking in kids that some of the worst in terms of drug abuse, criminal history, the whole lot, his genuine compassion for his own people and wanting to change things in some way he could was just very authentic.
There's a few good ones in them. And, you know, they stick it out for a while, but it's just, you know, good to give someone, I suppose, just a help in life. Yeah.
Jumbuck, you were the cameraman on this shoot and the main navigator. What did it take to get to the station?
I hate to admit it, but we did get a little bit lost at the last bit. We took a wrong turn and nearly ended up in the Arafura Sea in the Gulf.
What sort of roads?
The road to Borroloola from Darwin isn't too bad. It's very narrow. It is sealed, but you've got to get well off the road because, you know, if there's a road train coming, you've got to, you know, bow and get out of the way. But once you get past Borroloola, even though it is National Highway 1, it becomes just a dirt road. And we were met by Frank and not seven emus, but there was one emu that was just drifting around while we were there.
Did you get to speak to any of the people Frank was helping?
There were these two boys who just arrived, Isaiah from Cloncurry and also Zane, who came over from Mount Isa. When we first met them, they sort of had the too cool for school vibes going on. But then by the end of the week, you could see that facade being chipped away and we're really embracing being outdoors. And that's Frank's whole motto, is trying to get kids outbush to find themselves, but to also find a bit of a purpose in life. Sometimes these lads can be fairly shy about telling their story, but we managed to go out in the scrub away from everyone, and we just sat on a log and had a chat.
I'll go out a couple of stations, probably stay out on stations. Yeah.
It's a dry camp, there's no sort of grog or anything to get anyone in trouble out here. Do you think that keeps boys from getting in trouble?
Yeah, it's very great being out here. No bad habits, no nothing. Just be fit. They teach us a lot. One day we'll probably teach our kids and stuff. And yeah, I like it out here.
I've been on parole since I was 13, I think. Robberies, burglaries, that's about it, yeah.
Do you get caught in the wrong crowd? Or?
Yeah, just caught peer pressure, you know. If I'd have got out on the station younger, man, I'd have been a hard-working man. I never knew, you know, like blackfellas on the station.
What kind of person is Frank?
He's a complicated man, I will say that. So we'd sit under the stars and have these really varied and quite deep discussions, from politics to his philosophy on sugar. He's a very avid reader and he thinks a lot about the world. And one of his main principles was you have to give back. You can't stand by and complain about the way things are and not actually do something about it. And that is probably what drives most of his work with Indigenous youth.
I've been doing it for a fair while, and the problem is I think a lot of people lose, a lot of family don't like looking after kids. I think they just get tied up with what's happening now, technology or whatever you like to call it, and they like to be in town. They don't live the normal life no more because there's too much drugs, and you see it makes you sad, really.
Has Frank's exposure in Landline been a good thing for him?
I had mixed views on this at one point because initially he was bombarded with just overwhelming feedback about what a great job he was doing and what a tremendous legacy he was leaving by setting up these programs. You have to remember, this was at the time that the Don Dale stuff was also coming out and, you know, there was a huge focus on Indigenous
youth.
That's
the Don Dale Youth Detention Centre up in Darwin, where there was an inquiry about abuse of children detainees.
Yeah, so that Four Corners piece that just took off around the country and really put a focus on the territory's Indigenous youth was happening at the time. So people started to say, well, this is the solution. They should just roll out stations like Frank's done on that Landline program. And the fundamental thing is you can't copy Frank. I mean, you needed him at the central point of that. He started to get bombarded with more official offers of funding and people wanting to help and very genuinely wanting to help. But then perhaps maybe altering what he does, because then it would sort of turn into a very structured system with a lot of red tape. And I did start to worry that maybe his fundamental beliefs and what he was doing might get altered and not for the better.
Did they?
They didn't, actually, and I should have had more faith in Frank, and he pretty much told me so when I called him for a chat.
You know, they wanted to know where the money was spent or how it was spent, and some of them wanted to know how the kid's going to go or where he's going to go. I mean, nobody knows where the kid's going to go. You know, kid make up his own mind what he wants it to be. And, you know, if the government want to support it, well, they need to stop trying to make money out of kid. I mean, even though we want to make money out of it, but we know there's a result out of it because we spend the time and effort with the kid. You've got to spend a lot of time and talking to kids, and, you know, let them enjoy who you are and let them feel comfortable that you are a person.
There has been some official recognition, though, for Frank.
Yeah, there certainly has been. Frank was nominated for the Northern Territory Australian of the Year in 2017, and funnily enough, he actually didn't know anything about it.
I don't even know how it came about. I didn't even know I was nominated until they rang me and told me. A lady did say to me when that program came out, "You ought to be Australian of the Year." I said, "Oh, yeah." But I should have protested because the lady that won it, she came from overseas. And thank to you and Jumbuck. I'm very grateful for it. But yeah, I think that's part of Australian of the Year was, you know, you too as well for showing it. But gee, I got a lot of reaction, mainly from people over, you know, interstates and that.
From how far afield have people sought out Frank to get help for young men and women that they know?
Oh, the calls came in from all over Australia. I gave Frank a bell a few days after the program went to air, and he said, "I have just been bombarded with people asking me to take their kids on." But there was one woman in particular, a grandmother from Perth, that rang him and was quite desperate about her pleas for Frank to take on her grandson, who she had raised. He'd just gone off the tracks and she was at wit's end, and she saw Landline and she thought, maybe I can give that a try.
Yeah, she just rang up out of the blue and asked me if I could take the kid on, and I said, "Yeah, I'll take him on." And she just, and the grandfather, they was a farmer and people, and they sent the kid up here, and yeah, he turned out good. He was heavy on drugs. And, yeah, but he turned out good after. And like, I see the result every day. You see the change in him. But it's the open air that people, a lot of kids need. It's not this locking up business, you know, Don Dale or wherever. Keeping kid out in a house is no good. I mean, whether it's white or black, they need that fresh air.
The boy that we met when we came out to Borroloola a year or so after he'd arrived was polite. He was making conversation with us. He attended the rodeo with the other boys and was a really likeable, you know, good-looking young bloke, and he was tidying up from around everyone. And I said to Frank, you couldn't tell that that's the one that gave you all that trouble in the early days.
Is 7 Emu Station the Shadforth's traditional country? Can they trace their family history back for centuries or longer on that area of land?
Because Frank's father, Willie, was a stockman, he worked all over. And so they drove around, they moved around. So it certainly isn't land that they had a strong connection to. What I understand happened, and this is part of this amazing story with the history side of the station, is that Willie was driving, he was treated pretty badly up in that area by one of the station owners. And I guess he filed that away. He thought, I'm going to come back there and take that station.
My dad bought it in 53. The story goes that he went driving on the way through to Alice Springs, back to horse in the Caulfield Cup. 2 weeks later, he came back and backed a horse in the Melbourne Cup. Won him some money with a driving trip in Melbourne Cup. That's how he bought 7 Emu. He made 10,000 quid of it. When you read about Aboriginal history, how he got hold of it, I don't know. And to me, I still don't know.
Behind the scenes, what happened that you didn't get to show in the original story?
What didn't happen?
It was interesting because we actually had a bit of time on this one. Usually we just sort of hit the ground running, and we had this great camp which is part of the tourism setup they've got, which is on the edge of the Robinson River. There's a massive cliff drop into the water, and which is just as well because Frank pointed out a croc that was probably about a kilometre away, and I swear it was the biggest croc I've ever seen, and he reckoned it was probably about 6 or 7 metres, and I'm pretty sure it probably was. And we could hear this at night, we could hear this thrashing around in the water down below, and we thought, well, you know, I'm glad we were on the upside of the river because anything could have happened. We only had to contend with the odd Brahmin bull coming past the camp looking for a bit of love life in the moonlight.
What do bull catchers look like?
They're like little military rigs, sort of jeep looking things, and they've got a arm that they can push a button on, and it will swing over on top of the buffalo's head, catching it between its torso and horns. They sort of skid up beside it while it's caught, and then they start roping the bull in and then tie it to a tree. So they're these funny little Mad Max looking things, aren't they, Jumbuck? That tear through the scrub, and when they're coming towards you, it looks like something out of the Wild West territory style.
How much respect does Frank get in a way that he's a man who's doing things on his own terms? A successful Indigenous man that owns his own station, that inherited it from his dad. And that is, for a lot of young Indigenous people, seemingly he might as well be from Mars.
The young bloke said it best, you know, yeah, I didn't know black fellas could run a station. I mean, how sad to think that these kids just think that is so out of the realm of possibility. That line has stuck with me for so long. I think broadly, Frank doesn't make excuses for anyone. He doesn't settle for poor me anything. I think that's almost what connected with people.
The government need to wake up and start making people go to work, whether it's black, white or Chinaman or Indonesian, I don't care who they are, they should be all working. Because I've got a young white fella, he's 17, he's a white kid from Rockhampton. Well, when he came here, I didn't know whether he was a zombie or what. But by gee, he's a lot different now, like he's straightened out, he get up early, 5 o'clock in the morning. I don't have to wake him up now, he gets up early in the morning. He's been crying like cry here for a while, like, a bit hard, you know, and I said to him, listen, mate, if you want to survive in life, you've got to get up in the morning and have a wash. That was basic thing in life, and that's what we're lacking. The kids are lacking, and people, you know, they pour drugs into the poor little buggers. They think they're going to fix the problem, but that's not the problem. They need to get out in a place where it's isolated, like here. The problem with society today, there's too much meeting. Nothing solved.
Christy O'Brien and Ian Jumbuck Redfern, thanks for speaking to us on Three Bags Full.
Thanks.
Our pleasure.
You can check out the original story, plus some great behind-the-scenes footage on the ABC Landline Facebook page or online at abc.net.au/landline.
words of advice from Frank Shadforth, helping troubled youth on 7 EMU's station in the Northern Territory. And thanks to our mates at Landline for their Three Bags Full podcast series.